Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
it's
are.
Mike Shope and
are.
The Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Doubling back on two things. Quickly, one, if I didn't say or explain it, I'm wearing pants because I'm not ready to wear those sandals yet.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
So they're still in the rain.
They need a little more sanitizing.
I think so, yeah. And I wasn't ready to do that. So
gotcha.
You know what?
Right.
I'll just wear jeans and sneakers today. I'll dress up. So there's that. And the other thing was, so we were talking last hour for a few minutes on Allen and Diggs and the Bills and Diggs. Allen kind of started it or restarted a little bit Monday night, referring to his receivers from that game against Jacksonville. Nice that they don't care about stats, you know, and Diggs seemed the obvious implication there. And Allen today kind of tried to fix it a little bit with his comments. You know, and we can talk about that, I guess, if we want, but I don't need to. The morning guys were talking about this as well, talking about Diggs anyway as well. I don't know if they got into the Allen comment. I caught it midstream.
Right.
But
well, the new Allen comments wouldn't have been there yet, but the ones from
the original one,
obviously, yeah, right.
Yeah, and, you know, with or without the comments, you know, grudges, that's what they were talking about. Players,
mm-hmm.
You know, Jeremy said at one point, I think maybe I am a little light against guys where I should hold more of a grudge, but I don't. And people were calling in with their own players. Mm-hmm. Eichel, of course, was mentioned. That's mm-hmm. that's an easy one. You know, the better the guy is and the worse it goes, the perfect fit, the better the fit
yeah.
for this topic. And the thing that's the thing about Diggs, it's not Eichel. It's not that, I mean, by far, obviously, it went really well.
Yeah, they didn't win a championship, but they were not a failure.
No, it was not a total failure like Eichel was. I mean, the Sabres were with him.
Right.
So I'm not blaming him. But
I am.
You can. He's partly to blame, right?
Yeah, partly. Yeah, I'm kidding about all of it.
But if your team is terrible for a long time and you're the best player, you cannot be completely excused.
Right.
So, I think. But that's the thing that makes the Diggs stuff complicated is that the Bills won big with him. No, they did not get to a Super Bowl, but come on. Like, they were this level of excellence that they've been here through three games for almost the duration. And so what it becomes is about the style of the team, you know, and your own guesses or inferences about team dynamics. Right now, that win on Monday night, 3-0, every fan is kind of like, this sounds the same to me about them, which is like, oh, this is working. This was a great idea. To whatever extent you're drawing a conclusion from it already, I don't want to do too much of that myself.
Mm-hmm.
But culture, like, I mean, this is all just, it's high marks for McDermott. It's high marks for Joe Brady, of course. It's high marks for Allen. It's high marks for every one of those receivers that apparently, unlike Diggs, doesn't care how many catches they get. You know, it's like everything is just right.
And Bean, too, for pulling the trigger
Bean,
on everything.
Yes, yeah. Right. That's where we're at here. And that's what I think the Diggs conversation is really about. Like, there's the personal side of it, you know, people who did or didn't like him as a player or didn't like his act, all that. But it's also, like, the Bills are trying to see if they can be as good or better
right.
this other way.
Yeah, that's why I've referred to it as the first great experiment of Allen's career. You know, I'll you know, give away the first year or two here, his rookie year, 19, there was some growing. But, you know, 20, they get Diggs, and it's off to the races. And so, you know, a lot of the conversation, a lot of the uncertainty in fans' minds, not that fans, we're always, to some degree, we're always going to be uncertain, at least about how definitively we think we know it's going to go, but you know, there was a little more doubt this year because of the turnover, and chiefly Diggs. I think the, you know, you don't have to be the biggest super fan and be into all the minutiae to look at a team and go, well, they've had all this success with this type of player on the team, and now they're removing that type of player from the team, and can I, you know, it would make sense to question whether or not you're going to get something similar. Like, is this going to work, period? And so you end up naturally in a conversation about whether or not this can be pieced together this way, and all of that is a reflection on Diggs to some extent or another. You know, you've got people who, you know, the Bills decide to make the move. Let me say it this way. Before they make the trade, I'll bet there were plenty of fans who are like, and I might even describe myself as this. Oh, well, you know, they're going to keep their heads down. It's $31 million. It's a lot of dead money. They can't afford that dead money. They're just going to hope that he returns to form and figures it out. And that they can, you know, the marriage can continue. However rocky it's gotten, they can keep going. They trade him, and I'll bet a lot of fans who felt exactly that way the day before the trade then went, he really faded down the stretch. Yeah. They're probably right, because you want to support the team and you want it to work, right? But, you know, there's a lot of other people are going to step back and go, okay, I want to support the team too, but is this smart? Is this going to work? And I don't think we know yet if it's going to work. It's working right now to the tune of 3-0, and they're, you know, just bombing people with points here, scoring like crazy. So there's no question you feel good about it right now, but again, it's just three games. I think it makes sense, you know, give me three more games and then let's talk, right? I mean, of course, we're going to be here talking after each and every one of these and in between them all, but this next stretch is a hard stretch of the schedule, with road games in a row, Baltimore, Houston, Jets, those two on the ends, both at night. I mean, that's a challenging stretch of the schedule. Can you come through that still looking like, okay, this is working, you know, they did what they needed to do enough, right? I'm not saying they lose one game and that all goes out the window, but you come through that 2-1, and you're still scoring, you know, you're getting your points. I'm going to have a hard time saying that it's not working. Because these next three games certainly look, maybe they looked like equals to Jacksonville or Miami when the schedule came out. But sitting here now, we have more information. They've all played three games, so have you. And all three of those teams, I think even though Baltimore's 1-2, look stronger to me than these previous three teams they played. So can you get similar enough results when the competition ticks up, when you play offenses that might actually be able to challenge you in some way, shape, or form? I would expect that to happen, especially with Baltimore and with Houston. I'm not sure about the Jets, like what they can really do. They don't have a lot there, unless Mike Williams really emerges. And I guess, you know, there were some positive signs last time they played. The snap count's going up. But it's all just to say they've made it look easy, and you have to, I think, have some inkling that the opposition had something to do with that in some cases, right? So if the step up in competition is coming, if I'm right about that, come through that 2-1, I think, you know, I feel like I'm going to feel pretty solid the rest of the year. Doesn't mean I have to be right about that, but I feel double the amount of games and similar results against more strong competition, I'm gonna feel like they're, I'm not gonna say cruise control, but I'm gonna say they're in great shape, without, you know, a number one kingpin wide receiver dude,
who I would love to have play for Houston at the Bills this year instead of the other way around. What's better than a grudge match, you know? It's part of being a fan. It's part of what's great about being a fan. You sort of, either just it's how you do it naturally, or you contrive this anger. We have it with the Sabres a lot. The Sabres are obvious examples because you play everybody,
mm-hmm.
right? Drury and Briere leave. Eichel, obviously. Even Reinhart. You know, the Sabres are just, the history is littered with guys that came back, and because it's the Sabres and we're just how we are, that we're just mad. We just boo them all. You know, we boo Briere, even though he would have loved to play for the Sabres, you know.
Yeah.
We just boo him anyway. The Sabres, it's easy to think of many examples.
Yeah.
The Bills, it's not. Like, Diggs, it's a road game anyway, maybe next year. And even then, it'll be a little bit different. But how many guys, like Thurman came back with the Dolphins. That was more just weird, and I don't think anybody booed him, or did they?
That was, I don't remember. It's so wild how selectively you can just choose to forget that that even happened. Like, you know, like Thurman, I think most fans, sure, you're like, oh, Miami, really, dude? But they did him pretty dirty, right? I mean, Thurman, I think, felt scorned. I think he's said that many times. Found out on the ticker, you know, whatever it was, that he was getting cut from a team that he had a Hall of Fame career with. I mean, it was just sloppy. So I didn't feel like he forced his way out. They were done with him and kicked him to the curb very unceremoniously. And he said, okay, I'm going to go do this. So I never felt a grudge against him. I didn't like seeing him in a Miami uniform, but I never was mad at him for it. It was just a crappy situation, I guess, in the end. I mean, he didn't have to do that, but I understood why he did it. And this is well before I don't know about you, but before we knew him like we do now, I felt that way then. So yeah, it can be a little harder, right? Like, who am I supposed to be mad at? Mitch Morse or something? No, that's crazy. Well,
Davis got booed when Davis caught a pass in
Davis
the third quarter.
Booed?
Yeah, they talked about it on the air too, on the radio.
I did not know. Okay, all right, I didn't hear it on
Chris
TV.
Chris Brown was like, "That's not great."
Yeah,
which I give him credit for. But yeah, like he left because the Bills weren't going to keep him. I mean,
right?
But we don't care.
It
can't make you care.
I do.
Is that a rational thing? Man,
like, Eichel is like front and center to me, the easiest score to beat all time for all that was invested in him, the idea of him, and how we hoped it would work and dreamt it would work, and it just didn't. And then it's, I got to get out of here. And, you know, that got ugly, the medical part of that. And you can, you know, take sides on that if you want. But the bottom line is he wanted to go. And, you know, I'll hold that against him. It's easy. I don't have to feel bad about it. I don't know him personally. I don't hate him personally. I don't know him. But as a Sabres fan, as a Buffalo sports fan, you're a jerk face. That's it. Like, it's easy. I don't have to overthink it. And like, that's the end of it with football. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying, as I'm talking here, I'm saying more words than I really need to, cause I'm trying to think of a football example, and I can't think of a guy.
I'm just going to go to the Vegas game this year and boo Olofsson. I'll be the one guy not booing Eichel, but booing Olofsson, cause he's there now. I think, right?
Yeah. He's even getting a look on Eichel's wing, I think, as
were
starting camp.
That'll work. We know that'll work. It's not. Like, Marone is the only coach I can think of who came back as an opposing head coach. That 2018 Jacksonville game we talked about last week for a minute, because it's the last time the Bills had beaten them. He was the head coach of that team. But I don't think Wade did. No, he did. He's the Dallas coach in the
07,
the famous Monday night game.
Yeah.
It's too long ago. Like, it's too many years in between. I wasn't there. I don't know if people booed Wade Phillips. You know, Bills crowd could boo anybody, but that's a long space
between.
That
was the first Monday night game in like 150 years or something here. I doubt fans were dialed in on Wade Phillips.
He'd been gone, I think, 8 years, too.
Right.
So I don't think any other head coach. I mean, somebody's out there going, Daryl LaMonica.
Right?
Maybe that was it ugly when Daryl LaMonica returned to face the Bills as a member of the Raiders. That would have happened. But, you know, most of their stars, Kelly, no. Of course, he retired. Marv, too. Steve Tasker, too. Even, it's almost got to be a quarterback anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Even, like, I'm thinking of Andre played for Washington and Denver, and maybe there's a preseason game,
I don't know,
against I but no, nothing that rises to the level of contempt that I can remember with any of those guys.
Yeah.
Talley went and played in Atlanta. I don't remember anything in Minnesota later too, but I don't remember any animosity about any of that.
Did McCoy come back?
He was on the Chiefs when the Bills played there in the playoffs, I think. 13 seconds, maybe?
No.
But was he inactive?
No, he's not on that team.
Okay.
He did win Super Bowls with the Chiefs and then the Bucks, though. The 2 years after he left, he was on Super Bowl teams. I don't know if he played.
Well, if he won a Super Bowl with Tampa, then wouldn't he have been... Well,
he was on Tampa.
He was on that Tampa team that the Bills played when they lost in overtime down there?
He was on the Tampa team that beat the Chiefs after the Chiefs went through the... No, the Chiefs didn't even make the Super Bowl the year, the 13 seconds year. The Bills lose the AFC Championship to Kansas City, and then Kansas City loses to Tampa Bay, and he's on Tampa Bay.
Okay.
So I don't think
right, that
he
doesn't
came
line up.
Back.
Right, right. Yeah, and that Tampa game wasn't here anyway, so it would have been coming back.
No, right, right.
Down there. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how that is. It's kind of maybe a little bit, we're, I think, arriving at a conclusion of why the Diggs thing might be as juicy as it is. There just aren't a lot of examples of this happening, you know, where like star player leaves and now is a problem for you.
You have to be good. Like those drought years, there were guys, Ryan Fitzpatrick played here for the Dolphins and the Jets,
yeah,
both. So that's something, but you have to be like, the Diggs thing is way better. It's just, there's way more. The Bills had so much success. He was such a part of it. And now there's a referendum to whatever extent this is worth talking about on whether having him on your team, having him off your team is better than having him on your team. That's where we're at. This Bills season is, to an extent, is it better to not have Stephon Diggs around? I liked a point from the morning show today about him, which was he's playing a role in Houston that he never would have ended up playing here. Like, that would have never been how it ended or how it went this year. He's going to be that X receiver
right.
that you're going to need to get the ball to because that's what you've always done, and it worked fine for almost the entire time. Or else, and this is what the Bills decided, like, or else what's the point?
Right, yeah. What they were going to need to do, it's part of the reason why I wasn't thinking, you know, two drafts ago and certainly this last draft, but really the more pertinent point here is the draft before this one where they chose Keon Coleman with their first pick in the second round. It was get a new guy in here that's capable of becoming a number one and let him have, you know, work under Diggs for a couple of years. And then as Diggs gets to be 31, 32, and you still think he's useful, then, but it would make sense if he's slowing down, bump him inside and he becomes your slot guy. And I've replaced him on the outside with a different guy who's going to be the target king. That's the role really he's got in Houston. Although Tank Dell isn't really taken off yet this year, but Collins certainly looks like their number one guy there, even though Diggs got, what, 12 targets and 10 catches last week in a game they got killed in. So, you know, congrats on that, or as you say, congarts. But that was the way forward. If Diggs was going to retire as a Bill, it was get a guy that in a couple years is ready. And they didn't do that in time, right? Like Coleman this year, that would mean going through that again this year, hoping by next year the guy you picked is ready to ascend and he's ready, Diggs is, for a lesser role and bumping inside or whatever. And it just, they ran out of runway on it. They just didn't act in time to get that guy that could become their number one dude. And now they're just, you know, now they're talking like they don't need a number one dude, and that's a referendum on the season. We'll see if they do or not.
Gotta love a grudge. Gotta love it.
And I think they're healthy. You know, if they're kept in the right, you know, I hate this guy. I don't really hate them, but I'm talking about sports. And it's just, you know, that's It rises to that level. We're just talking.
Well, you're the expert because you find ways to hate everybody the Bills play
right.
and all their players and coaches.
Right.
So no one better than you to serve as an authority on this. How to generate that hate. This is one where you don't need to work that hard.
Yes.
When it comes to, say, Jonathan Gannon, maybe you have to really force it. But it's like Thurman again with being not drafted by other teams.
Right.
You're going to figure out a process
right.
that gets you into that rage where you want to be. That's where you're at your best.
Right.
How do I get there?
I got to do some Googling on John Harbaugh again. I got to remember what he was mad about a couple years ago when they couldn't get some rushing record or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah. There was a rushing stat that he cared about.
Right.
I always have liked him, but I don't. You're here to
me
help
too, but
me
not
figure
now.
Out.
Nope. Nope.
He does seem. Let's get to a break. Harbaugh. Give us your thoughts. He does seem somebody that. And I think McDermott is like this. I think Allen is like this, where they really just want to control the whole thing. Yeah. He wants to officiate the game, too. He wants to be mm-hmm. sort of like in the ref's ear. You know, McDermott does the clock when somebody comes down or he gets pushed backwards, right, as he gets to the sideline. 803-0550, Bills and Ravens, Sunday night. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.